Hello everyone, and welcome to the most strategic placed podcast in the world, House of Games. Today's strategy is simple. It's me and my host, Odo! So, let's just open a door and enter today's episode, shall we? Welcome everyone to this week's episode of House of Games, and this episode we have no guests, so I guess you would call this, what would you call it, a duo or a
one-on-one
mono episode, I don't know, something like that. At least it's me and Ruin this episode, so we're gonna talk about, I think, some news updates with Unity and also some updates about our respective games. So for me, last time I talked about game development for myself was about almost a year ago. So I've been really, really busy with the podcast, and now I've finally caught up. So now I've been able to do some small fragments of game development on my own project, which is really nice.
Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, long story short, the old project doing last time I talked about game development, we essentially scrapped that because it was supposed to be a small game, but it got bigger and bigger and feature creep set in. So, and also it's been several months since we worked on that. And as a third thing, we also did that in Unity, so I think because of all those things, we decided to scrap that and start something new that we are more excited about. So this time we're doing a small project in Godot, and we're doing sort of a very, very small game with basically just one button in the gameplay, and that's it, basically.
Since you, because you told me about this game off air a couple of weeks ago, almost months ago. Damn, the time goes so fast. I can't believe it's been almost a year. It's disgusting, but it is what it is. But you told me about the game, and I wonder if have the future creep come back at all into this game, or have you kept him at bay?
Yeah, I think for me that I've probably, we've kept the scope the same as it was last time. So the game that we're doing now is sort of a preview game. Not a demo, but sort of a game to sell what the bigger game is once we do release that. So, but we're going to start off with a really, really small game. So I'm just going to tell you what the small game is, so you can maybe think about what the bigger game will be. So basically this, imagine that you have the Earth, or a planet, if you will. An unspecified, very Earth-like planet. And this planet is floating around in space, and on this planet you have the sun shining its light on it, like our Earth. And then imagine that you have like a big railway around this Earth, and on that railway you have a train, and on the train is a vampire. So the objective of the goal, or the objective of the game, is basically this. You want to stay fast enough that you stay in the shade as the sun rotates around the Earth. If you go too slow, then the vampire can't stand sun, so then he will die because of that. And then if you go too fast, then you will catch up to the sun and the same thing will happen. And basically the gameplay is just, I imagine it's gonna be something like Flappy Bird or something similar. That it's just gonna be one button that you push, which is just go faster or something like that. And then you have to time that to the movement of the sun. And the idea, I think, is that you push that button and then your speed increases and then it decreases like a curve. And then I think you call it maybe a bell curve or something like that. But and then it's also gonna be that the planet is gonna spin faster and faster, so it's gonna be harder and harder to time that over time. So, and then you get sort of a score, like how many laps you successfully gone through without dying or something like that. So that's going to be just what we're going to do. It's going to be hopefully nothing beyond that. And then we can just release that small thing and then fix any issues that we have with it, or maybe add some stuff after it's released. So that's the plan, at least.
Is the goal just... Yeah, to get a game out, just to have that under the belt and the feeling.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, I think having released something is not only good for marketing, like being able to point to something and saying that this is what we made and this is the kind of games I make and so on, but also for your own motivation's sake, I think, that you can... You know the process of completing something from idea stage to like a finished project that other people can play. And going into the next project, then you would have sort of an idea that you can go all the way with it and not just add a bunch of stuff, and you know what the sort of at least what the whole process entails and when you gotta stop implementing and just publish, for example.
I feel that with Sunset Moon and this demo I'm working on. I can just imagine the some of the feedback I will get. Like, why can't I go over here? And it's like, oh, you didn't read the intro. Like, I sealed off a piece of the world, and
yeah.
And then it's like, well, you should just do this. Or why is there only one side quest or whatever? And it's like, it's just, you know, when you walk down the street and you see someone build a house. And then the concrete flap, like on the bottom, right?
Yeah,
like that.
The foundation.
Yeah, the foundation takes forever. And then you walk past that house every day, right? And you're like, man, they are still just doing that. This house is going to take like 20 years to build. And then the next week you're there, it's done. It's just the foundation takes so much time when you build a house, for example. And the same with games. And I'm just thinking like... when I release this demo, I really want to... I hope the players will understand that, for example, when you do one side quest, like to make one side quest takes maybe 1 week of hard work. Or let's say it takes 2 weeks to implement that, to make the side quest system, to make it interact with the world, to make sure that when you go here, it takes some Boolean and so on and so on. Like to make one side quest might take 2 weeks. But then to make another 20 side quests might take 3 days. It's just like, so that's where I'm at now, like where I'm trying to make all the functions in the game work. And it feels like when I make my blog updates, it's from the outside looking in, if you don't know anything about game development, it might look like I'm not getting anywhere. But a lot of things are happening. Now, I forgot how I was going to tie that into what you just said. I got caught up in my own...
Yeah, well, I can tell you at least where I am in the process of making it. So far at least, we have a skybox, which is like a static image of the stars, basically. We have a globe, which is just a sphere object, and then we slapped a world map on that. And then we have a rail, and we have like a box, which represents the like vampire on the train. Basically, and we've done a start menu where you can start the game and quit, and after playing start, then a button appears that just says go faster, and if you click that, then the speed increases for the train, which rotates around the globe. So that's how far I've gotten so far, so a little bit, I guess, but yeah, coming together slowly.
Yeah, I think I remember what I was going to say about my rabbit hole I went into there. Yeah, when you release the game, you, as the developer, learn all these things, like the stuff that takes a lot of time and the things that are less work. And then for the next game, you can balance that better. That I think that was my point. Like, so in the game I'm making now, right, I'm trying to make sure that all the functions works. And then I will just have the fun part by making graphics. But the bad thing about doing this approach would be, for example, in this demo, the game I hope at least that the final game is going to look at least 3 times better than it does now, because this is the first time I make a pixel art game, and it's just like every time I sort of repaint the game and like mess with the graphics here and there, it's just like I can see that I'm getting better and better at making pixel art. But then if you are a player who are sort of into graphics mainly, then it might be a turnoff. But yeah, when you make a game and you release it, you do learn these things, like what takes time and what doesn't take time. And then for the next game, you can balance that better and sort of like arranged. Maybe you do the boring stuff first and leave the fun bits to the end. Because at least I think the releasing the game is the most boring part with all this licensing and all that stuff. But I am curious, who makes the graphics and who makes the... You do the code, I suppose. And also, what platforms are you planning to release it on?
So for this one, I'm imagining, so to answer the first question, it's me who does the coding and my brother does the graphics part. So for releasing it, we're thinking just to, as soon as we have it sort of finished, that you can do a like game loop that, you know, you can click on the play button and then play it and then, you know, play it until you die or something, and then you have a completed game loop. That's when we plan to release it. So not perfection or polish or anything, just release it as quickly as you can. And then the rest of it is going to be updates to like a real game instead of just doing a GitHub commit. Which I think is going to be more fun than just... You know, it's going to be more fun when it's like real stakes.
Yeah.
And maybe then you will have like, you will get a sense of priority, what is really important to the player, and not just go into some weird rabbit hole of doing something that doesn't really matter. Something like that. And so we plan to release it on like itch.io at first. And then I imagine, like, this is what I'm thinking in my head, like, we release it there, and then we update it until it's sort of a completed stage. So it's sort of finished. There's nothing to add or do or anything like that. And then we add it to... I don't know if Godot can do, like, web games, but I hope it can. But assuming it can, we should release it, like, on Newgrounds and, like, Armor Games and all of those sites just to get... exposure. And I'm thinking, like, the way we do the game is that we, after you die, you get like a lap counter or something. You're like, you did 30 laps or score or whatever it is. And then you have like a share button which creates a screenshot or something like that. And that screenshot should have like our URL, like our website on it. So that, you know, the dream would be that it is like Flapper Bird, that it becomes really popular, and then, you know, all of the screenshots and where it's shared everywhere, that funnels everyone back to our website. So when we release another game, then all of those like views still get to where we're going next, so to speak. So that's the plan, I guess.
It's so I always complain about this, but like, it's just so sad we have to think about that business aspect of things and the promotion part of things to get out there. But it's just, it is what it is, and it's, you can't really avoid it. It would be as cool if we lived in a world where that wasn't the case, that you could just make the game and put it out and that would be enough. But of course, it's a million games per day, so you have to think like that, which is smart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think it's actually something that... So the first plan was actually just to make the bigger game, which would be like a real game. Like this, I imagine, like we release it on itch, and then eventually maybe we'll port it to like smartphones or something like that. But like the full game was supposed to be like a full-scale like video game, like you can... put several hours into it. But something that, like, during the Assemble episode, actually, he said that you have to sell your idea of the game in 3 seconds. So this game, this whole game, is supposed to be that thing that instead of a trailer, you can point to an entire game, like, say, like, play this game and you will get immediately what the bigger game is all about, basically.
Man, it's down to 3 seconds now. That's, wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's better to aim low, I guess, and then get more people, and then not everyone is going to be interested, but if you can get this, you know, it's like a funnel, you know, you start at the top where there's a bunch of people, everyone in the world, and then you get some of their attention, and then some of them click on the link, and then some of them, you know, and eventually you get someone to buy the game or whatever it is.
Interesting. You mentioned Newgrounds. I made flash films from Newgrounds when I was in high school. And I also have a PR plan for Newgrounds, because I still get comments or emails from the videos I made back then.
Oh, cool.
One of them hit the front page, actually. I think it's over 120,000 views. So that's quite...
Oh, yeah, that's the one you told me about. Yeah.
So it's back then, you know, that's huge. But I'm thinking, even though that's a parody of Metal Gear Solid, so it will stay there. But I have some other really mature films, and I started working on a third one from a series called Theodore and Gregory. It's a duck and a crocodile that drink that medicines to make you poop. It's that level of comedy. So it's. It's awesome, but I'm thinking, like, because there's a cinema in my game I'm working on now, and you, in a perfect world, you should be able to go there every weekend, and there's a new film they're showing. And then I was thinking to make the third film from this Theodore and Gregory, or, you know, I implement the first and second film in this game, and maybe have the kids in the village, they go and watch that on a Friday night or whatever. And then... the third film will also be in this game. Let's say in year two, you can see it. And then promote that from Newgrounds. But now it's so long time ago since I was on Newgrounds. But it would be really cool if there are people who still follow me and get notifications when I upload new films.
Yeah.
And then they can see like a tidbit of Theodore and Gregory 3 and think, well, this is hilarious. This idiot is still making these bullshit films. And then the idea is that it sort of zooms out and then you are in the cinema in this game. And then thus I sort of promote Sunset Moonstead.
Very nice.
And I have some other, a lot of ideas for films that I want to show in the game. But making each of one of them is going to take a lot of time. So I do hope that this sort of AI tools will come along well before I start making these films. And this is also like one of those things, like I'm working on a script now where I can actually make sure that it works, and then just the film I have in the game now, it's just like a webcam film, like this, just me doing this, waving at the camera, and then that's it. But just to make sure that works, and then when everything works and I can start making the art and everything, like really polish the game's art and everything and make these films, I think that's going to be super, super fun. So that's like something I really have to look forward to towards the end. But that was the Newgrounds. It reminded me of Newgrounds when you said that. And Newgrounds is awesome for people who don't know.
Yeah. It's amazing that they're still going and seems to be like really thriving. You know, despite being, you know, if I had to guess, like before doing this podcast, I would guess like the website would be like completely dead or something. But it seems to be like a really thriving community. So, and thank you everyone for listening to this podcast episode at newgrounds.com.
Yes.
Because we're also like uploading at the same time there. So
nice.
So I was curious about your game. How's it going so far?
Good. I've been working. I just made a vlog thingy today, so it will be up by the time this episode is out. I'm going to upload it on Monday. I tend to upload on Mondays if I remember. This past Monday was a red day in Japan, so I wasn't working. I was with my family. But on the blog that is up now, I managed to make it work with the rent system. So you pay rent every week, and then if you buy land, it adds to the rent. And if you don't pay the rent on time, there's a timer that starts ticking down. And when it hits zero, you become homeless. So later on, it will be like it fades black, and then you wake up in the homeless shelter the next day. And then you're homeless and have to find stuff to sell and make money so you can pay the rent. So all of that works, which is cool. And on top of that, I did this... what I thought was an original idea, but I think it comes from Morrowind or Oblivion. So now that if you break into someone's home, you can steal stuff from them. And then I have a boolean that sort of indicates that you're in someone's home now and stealing stuff. So this function isn't called every time you open a wardrobe or something and take stuff. Let's say you're in a cave and you find a wardrobe, that's just loot that you can get by taking it. But anyway, if you're in someone's home, there's a boolean that says, well, you're in someone's home and everything you take now is stealth, basically. I mean, it's theft. And those items have... Every item in the game has a value for selling and buying, right? So all of those values will be added to a script that, like... keeps track on how much stuff you have stolen in terms of value. And when you get arrested, you go to prison, and then you can you get like a penalty thingy, and it says like how many days you're gonna be locked up, and that's based on how much money you have, how much stuff you stole. And it also gives you a discount on how much stuff you stole, which becomes a debt that is sent to the bank. And then after you're punishment, let's say you are locked up for 3 days, there's a skip button so you can skip all three days, which is probably what you want to do, because there's nothing to do in prison. Or I don't know why you would wait it out, but you could. And then when you're released, you basically have a debt you have to pay to the bank. But if you play as a shanty person, you know, you can just ignore it. But if you play as a good person and you, I don't know, accidentally steal something, and or you see something that you really want to upgrade your hammer, for example, you might go, well, I'm going to steal this one because I'm not planning to get caught anyway. But then, as I mentioned in the presentation I had about my game, there are curveballs thrown at you while you play the game. So even if you play as a good person, I might put you in a situation where you have to be a bad person. And that could, of course, backfire. So let's say you have played for 2 years in this game and you've stolen stuff here and there. And eventually that can sort of backfire, and you have to deal with the consequences. So those two functions I worked on, and now I'm back to the dialogue system to redo it one more time. I think it's the fifth time at this point, but it's... I don't know, I did a mistake last time. Like, let's say you give a ring to a woman you want to marry, and she has like her own, let's say, NPC definition container where it says like you're gonna marry her now. I want to keep everything to the player's stats. So instead of like it goes to her, it goes to the player. So everything checks with the player who he's gonna marry and so on. Because by doing that, I can keep it more streamlined. And also, if I later on want to add more characters that you should be able to marry, you could, for example, play as a man or a woman. So if I want to make an option that you can be gay, for example, that would also work better for me from a programming point of view, to make everything go to the player. But there will still be certain things that... like adding these things later on will be extra work, because I don't want it to be like, let's say you marry someone and it's like, do you take blah 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 to love, yada yada yada. I want things to be more personalized, so people will say, oh, you're marrying Odo, he's such a nice guy, blah 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 blah. But if you were to marry Rune, he's like, isn't he this shanty guy? So which means in the dialogue trees, all these things it can't be the same dialogue and I just swap out the names. I think that's quite lazy as well. So I want them to be very personalized, these dialogue trees. And if you marry a certain person, people talk about that person. And it's not just like the name being exchanged. Because I find that to be quite lazy. But I do plan to have that for certain characters. If I add this later on, let's say I want to add a couple of more people you can marry, then I could easily make like a fourth option where the name just being swapped out in certain dialogue trees. Or if I, for example, forget to add this person somewhere in a dialogue tree, in someone's dialogue tree, it will simply just exchange the name instead of calling the wrong person, if that makes sense. But just to sort of avoid bugs in the dialogue tree later on, I think I will add this sort of fourth option anyway, which is just going to use the name of the character you married and sort of just talk about that person in a more non-specified way, so then it still makes sense, if that makes sense. So that's what I've been working on. I hope I get to this dialogue thing to work tomorrow, and then I also been working on this demo to make more details in the demo world, and written down dialogues and stuff like that. I'm really gonna try to make the hook the player on the story and the atmosphere as soon as you start playing the game. So quite excited about that. I hope the demo is done in like 1 or 2 months. That would be cool. And that would be basically the vertical slice for the entire game. And at that point, pretty much everything should work in the game.
Cool.
But it will just be sealed off and
Yeah.
So yeah, fingers crossed. Exciting. Yeah, but every time I start working on something, I realize it's just more and more and more and more, and yeah, it's insane.
So to segue into Unity, so how have you been? What have you been thinking about regarding like Unity and your own project since last time we talked? There's been a little bit of an update that's not official, but go ahead.
Yeah, I did watch some stuff before we started. I think when you guys told me on air last week, my initial reaction was like it just sounded a bit annoying. That you would have to pay after the fact or something like that. But yeah, a lot of things seem to be backtracked on, and that's fine. I started messing around with Godot or however.
Godot,
yeah.
Pronounce.
And it's it's like I managed to make some animations run just by watching some YouTube tutorials and stuff like that. So it doesn't seem to be super hard to move engine, and I was quite intrigued to do it. But I'm so close to get my vertical slice on my game. So
yeah.
I have decided to finish it in Unity, at least a demo. And then we see where we're at. But I do also think that I think Godot, for example, doesn't have the things I need to make this game. Or I would have to change a lot of things to make it work in Godot. So I think it would be better to move over to Unreal. But then again, like the problem with what the biggest problem I see with this whole Unity thing is that it's like having all your eggs in one basket, and it's in a company's basket. And if it goes bankrupt, then you're fucked. And that's why I sort of felt like, well, if I'm going to change the engine, it should be an open source thing that will basically stay alive forever. I assume. So it doesn't make sense to change to Unreal, I think, because then the problem I have with this whole Unity thing is that I realized, oh shit, this is not good. Like if Unity goes bankrupt, for example, or whatever, that's not a good thing. Or even if you're on Unreal now and Unity go bankrupt and Unreal is the only player in town, that's also a bad thing, because who knows how they will abuse that power if they were to. So I feel like the only option I would go for is open source and Godot. But yeah, it's I would have to change a lot of things, and the dialogue system is the thing that sort of keeps me on Unity, because it's a thing I bought from a company who makes it, and they have a fantastic like forum where you can ask stuff and they help you out and so on. But if they put that over on Godot, I think that would entice me even more to go over there. But for now, I will finish up this demo at least and put it out on Steam, and then we will see what happens after that. But I don't think the news about Unity is as bad as we first thought, or as some people make it sound like. I think it's let's say it says something about it only targeted 10%, and a lot of those big players are mobile companies, like making these mobile games, and like I don't know, it's just like, in a way, I was thinking about it today, like, in a way, that's a good thing, because I don't really like these mobile games anyway, and I think they are bad for the industry, just like YouTube, for example. I was thinking about that, like, my son, when he was with grandma and grandpa, they let him watch a lot of YouTube, and when he came home from there, he was, like, totally broken. Well, YouTube. I'm like, no, you're not allowed to watch it. Because when you think about how YouTube creators make their videos, there is so much about the algorithm, and they can check when you quit watching, when you change, and so on. So it's almost like creative creators create stuff based on algorithms and data to keep you, to make sure you stay. And I keep saying on this show, like, I'm against that. Like, you should do what you want to do. And if people don't like it, that's fine. Don't look at statistics all the time, because then, and also what scares me with, for example, YouTube is that YouTube also have that data, and they can just sort of read your mind by looking at data. And I just think that's going to ruin art in general and games, because eventually it's going to be so competitive. It's just like, I feel like we're all just going to look at data. What makes people stay? What makes people go? And so on. And eventually you will just have all these games that are basically like most mobile games are today, where it's just this morphine kicks. So from that point of view, if this only targets those mobile companies that have these microtransactions, and I couldn't fucking care. Like, if they all go bankrupt, that's fine. I mean, because I think that's like anti-art anyway. But
yeah, I get what you mean. But, you know, the thing about it is that I agree that I fucking hate mobile games nowadays also. But it's still a shame if, like, say you're a graphic designer, or if you're just a programmer or something, and you get a job at one of these companies, and all of a sudden, like, Unity pulls the rug from under you, and then you get fired because of it, which would be sort of a shame. But yeah, I agree. But something I was gonna say about, like, mobile companies. Yeah, so the thing about Unity, I get that it's only targeting like 10% of their entire customer base, and it's mostly big companies. But the thing about it is that since it is sort of retroactive, in that they're not saying like, well, next version, if you use that, then the terms are that for every person who installs it, you gotta pay us this much money. It's rather that, so if you install it with the terms that were sort of that were agreed upon, then you still retroactively get affected by like an install fee that's created 5 years later. So if you are almost finished with your game and then can't afford what they now have come up with, then, you know, it's sort of like, I mean, it's hard because you're already invested in it, and it's, you can't just pull out like that. And the issue is, I think, that sure, it's only like 10% now, but what happens if they in 5 years time say that, well, everyone is like affected by an install fee, and then if you're like halfway into a project, then you can't just change. But
now I agree with that part too. That's that, yeah, the whole retroactive thing, that part is bullshit.
Yeah, but I would totally get if they would say something like, from next version this will do, but if you want to use our previous versions, that's gonna be like less features and maybe bugs or stuff like that, then you can use that with the terms that were set at that time. But speaking of mobile game companies, so there is a competitor to Unity's ad service for mobile games called, I think they're called AppLovin. Sounds like McLovin from
Superbad.
From but they created this thing where they use, I think, ChatGPT to convert your project from Unity to Godot or Unreal. So they just go through your whole project and like convert scripts and stuff to other engines. And they've just launched it, and then I imagine that they're gonna keep working on it. But like their incentive is that you should be able to use their like add-on service no matter what engine you have, and if you want to migrate and so on. But I think they released it as a free app, so, or a program or whatever it is. So if you need to in panic migrate it to something else, then that service can help. So it's sort of funny to see that it's very like everyone thinks the same thing about Unity, and how could they like not have foreseen this?
Well, about that conversion thing, I saw a lot of YouTube videos where like how to convert from Unity to Godot, and it's just like, what a fucking drivel of bullshit films. It's like, just download it here, so simple, and press here, install, and new project, and off you go. Like, oh, thanks, you just fucking showed me how to open the fucking program. Yeah, it's nothing to do with converting my game. Like, when I think how to convert my game, I'm thinking about, well, now when you told me about that app you just mentioned, I imagine that I drag and drop my assets folder into that software, and it just imports everything to Godot, and then I launch Godot, and it will so compile all the scripts and all the sprites, and it works, and there's my game again. But the first thing that comes to mind is like particle systems.
Yeah, exactly, and lightning and music and, you know, like the feature sets of different engines. Like, I'm sure that Godot has some features that Unity doesn't have, and the other way around. So it's, you know, the way you make your game is also gonna be like dependent on like what the engine is, sort of. So it's never gonna be, but I agree, there's also like, for all these things, there's always like this bunch of YouTubers with that exact voice, like, hey guys, blah blah blah. And they always want to like cash in to some fucking, well, this is how you like go to the website and download the exe file. It's funny, like I hate this fucking, I mean, it's in some way it's so weird that at the same time people are getting less and less attention span, but at the same time, these people are getting better and better at wasting your time. Like,
yeah,
you know, me and my brother looked at a tutorial for making a toon shader in Godot yesterday, and it was about 4.5 minutes long, and both of us were like shocked at how, you know, and it was exactly the thing that we needed to learn how to do. And it was no more, no less. And we were just surprised that usually there's like a 15-minute, like, you know, intro, and they wanna tell you about their life, and the camera is pointed at their face, and, you know, they wanna tell you about their sponsor and shit, and then eventually they get to whatever it is that you want to know. So it's so weird that it's like paradoxically everyone is getting less and less attention span, and like all of that time is getting wasted as well.
Yeah, I feel like I'm pretty good at sort of clicking through these films and quickly tell if this is just what I need or not. But I wouldn't be able to do that in Godot because then I don't know anything. But in Unity, well, if I need a YouTube tutorial with Unity, it's just like click, 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 and okay, this is what I need, and then I go back and watch it, and yeah.
I can recommend a add-on beyond like the normal ad blocker that you usually use. There's also something called sponsor block. So what that does is just skip, like when you reach like a sponsor message, it just skips from the beginning of that to the end. Oh, so you nice. Don't have to watch that, like, oh hey, Surfshark or whatever it is. And then also it has like a highlight marker, so it highlights like where is like the content you want to see. It's here, so you can just go to like where are, you know, the thing that you want.
Yeah, that sounds nice. Speaking of that, if there's any people who want to have ads in our show,
let us know. Here's how you block ads, and also you want to sponsor us, nobody's gonna listen to it.
Yeah, that sounds like a nice yeah. thing though. I was gonna say about but to convert the project, I really wonder though how much work it does for you versus, I can also imagine like if I were to try that app you just mentioned, the McLovin app, it would be cool to try out just to see what happens. But I can also yeah. imagine it's just gonna be like a gazillion error messages when I start the watching.
And I can imagine like very like Unity specific settings and stuff, it's gotta be hard to convert that, like, you know, lightning stuff and scene stuff. And you know, Godot has like nodes and not, it doesn't have like game objects in the same way and stuff, so I feel it's gonna be really really difficult to do like a one-to-one conversion. It's gotta be some stuff that's gotta be, you have to manually, you know, it would be fine if it would be like small stuff that you could just correct here and there. But like, I imagine like when you, especially when you have a big project like yours, that when you just convert it, that it's just gonna be a mess, and you would like, there's gotta be something wrong with everything. Like everything will have like something that's not quite working as you wanted to, I imagine.
I can imagine if I could like convert one scene of the game, the smaller one, and then implement more. Yeah, I don't know. Like, and even if it did work, just by dropping this asset folder into the software and it made it work in Godot,
yeah,
it would still take a lot of time for me to understand the Godot system.
Yeah. Anyway, so there is this rumor, at least with the, it's not confirmed by Unity themselves, but there is this rumor that Unity will, instead of taking a install fee like they've said, so instead they would, after reaching like 2 million in revenue, I think it was something like that, then they would take 4%. So I think exactly like Unreal does it, except they charge a percent less. So that would be like the backpedal that they would do. But I don't know, we'll see, because a lot of people have said that, you know, it's just a rumor, so it's not even like official, so it might not even be that they do backpedal from it, and maybe they're just, you know, spreading a rumor themselves to see what the feedback is, if people would accept that.
No, I think that sounds better. And I'm curious, why don't they, if I were Unity, I would just be a publisher too. Maybe they are, but you know, imagine you have all these people making games on your engine and you sort of have direct access to all of them. And as soon as something sticks out, you go like, well, can we publish your games for you? And then they get an even better share from that. But at the same time, that would only work for small indie devs like myself who don't have a publisher. Because I imagine that if you are a bigger team and you make a more grandiose games, you already have a publisher, investors, and all that. But yeah, so maybe it wouldn't make much money in the end.
But it's speaking of money, it's sort of funny that the have you heard of the Godot Development Fund?
No, but I did donate to them when I downloaded their software just 2 days ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah. I always do that with the open source stuff. It's linked to PayPal, so it's so easy. You just click on it and then bam, it's done.
Well, that's very nice of you. Then you are better than me in that regard. because I have not, but I have used it a bit. So, yeah, but it's really nice that the Godot Development Fund is sort of like how they fund the development of the engine. So they have actually like full-time employees that work to like improve the engine. And I think, I don't remember what it was before this whole Unity thing, but I think it has like almost doubled, something like that I read somewhere. So now it's up to like 48,000 euros per month for developing the engine, which is really cool. And I saw also this morning that the developer of Terraria, he, like, I don't know if that is made in Unity or not, but out of frustration, the creator of Terraria donated 100,000 to Godot plus 100,000 to another engine.
Nice.
And then said that they would like support both of those projects with $1,000 a month.
Wow.
Which is just crazy how this whole Unity thing, like, paradoxically, it has unified everyone.
Yes.
Like, in the rage so much that they're like really donating to, for example, Godot, and just making, in the end, I think the sort of ecosystem of game engines is going to be better off after this than it was before, because you will have,
yeah, all of this also sort of speaks to like subscription services and all this, the free shit you get by giving away all your data and your soul and all that stuff. I don't know, like, because I'm not online that often, but I also think that Twitter talked about charging everyone, and I have a feeling that it's not only doom and gloom, that people sort of see the point in that. So by charging everyone a little bit, you get rid of all the bots and all that stuff. But then if you are, for example, an influencer who pay for these bots to give your tweets or your videos 1,000 extra likes, then obviously you don't like that. But like, if you are a creator, whatever, it's on YouTube or whatever, you don't want the fake views. Like, why would you want that? They don't matter. So you would want just the honest, like the real views, and you wouldn't want to have all these bots giving you boosts and all that stuff. Long term, at least. I can imagine in the short term it can boost your views, and that maybe you get better ads or something. Like, short term, I think it can probably help, but just try to look 3 years down the lane, and I think it's not worth it.
Yeah. And with this, these social media companies, I think also, I don't know if I would pay for X or Twitter like a monthly subscription. I think, like, most likely I would just not pay. But one good thing about it could be that, like, if it's free, then you as the user is the product and the customer is like ad companies, not you. And by charging money for it, then maybe you could, like, not, I don't know if that's going to be the case, but then you could just not accept money from ad companies, and then the users are the customers. So then you will care more about what they think rather than some third party that they will never meet.
True that. Yeah. But yeah, this whole thing about I mean, myself donating to this Godot and all that stuff, like, I'm more than happy to give money to these types of things. And I said it before, like, there's so many mobile games I think look so amazing, but then you play them for 4 seconds and there's an ad in your face, and I'm like, oh, fuck's sake, can I just buy it? I want to buy the thing so I don't have to deal with ads. And I think, I hope that a lot of people have come to that sort of realization or that conclusion, and we will get less of this. I hope the days of ads and all that is over, and that, well, it won't be, but I don't know. That I it feels like a lot of people are more willing, and you can see it, like, in games being sold and stuff like that. Like PlayStation, for example, they sell so much games, and they don't do this Xbox Game Pass thing when they give games away for free all the time. People are more than happy to buy the stuff they want, and I hope that's the future, because otherwise I'm afraid that I guess that will still be a problem if we just look at statistics and algorithms and data to design our games based on that, to make as much revenue as possible. But I don't know,
I think, I mean, again, not having released a game, so I can't speak that much about it. But, you know, the thing that I feel about that is that I would wanna, like, create the sort of market that I want for myself. So it's better than not to participate in this Game Pass and, like, PlayStation Plus, like, free game thingy, and just say that, well, you wanna play my game, you gotta pay this money. And the benefit is you get it as a product and not as a service. You never collect data about the user or anything like that. And then, you know, it's gonna be like the good old days, hopefully. And I think if people just opt out out of, like, the stuff that they don't like, that's, like, the only way that you could defeat it, that you really have to, you know, act according to your principles.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what the future holds. But I also heard about, I think, did I mention that last week or after we had recorded, but Disney is, like, going $1 billion minus every month on Disney Plus. And it's just, like, shows that there's so many streaming services now that it thins us out. And then when we consumers subscribe to too many of these things, eventually we realize, like, holy shit, I'm spending like $100 a month on all of this. Like, no, we have to stop this. And then you sort of just go back to the one or two of them. And then I think more and more people realize that. And across the board, like, of all the things you subscribe to, it's just, you will, now I hope people sort of wake up from that and buy the things they want, because I think it's just a more honest and real market that way.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's, I mean, with the streaming market, I think it's a little bit like maybe like the IT bubble of the late 90s, that, you know, people think that if you create a streaming service, it's gonna be the next Netflix, even though it's Paramount or it's Disney or whatever it is. And I think now that it's a new thing, then of course everyone wants to try it, and all of like investors and all of those people want to invest in a streaming service. And then of course there's, like with any new business, there's gonna be like a whole lot of companies doing it, and then a few of them are gonna succeed and make it profitable, and then that's gonna be the way forward, is what I'm thinking. So in 10 years there's probably gonna be half of what the number of streaming services that there are now, is my prediction. So fact check me on that.
But that's also competition is good, but when it's just too much of everything, that's not good for the companies or the consumer, I think.
Yeah. Man, we went deep this episode, I think.
Yeah, I was thinking I had something on my mind. Let's see. No, but this episode will be released after all the Unity statements, so maybe we've been talking out of our asses, but it's it'll be interesting to see what happens down the line. But I think it'll be all right. I think it's maybe blown a little bit out of proportion, this whole thing. I hope they don't go belly up Unity, not because just because I'm on it, but also like if they are not there, then what options are there? Then it's only Unreal, basically, or these open source ones, which I am a big bigger fan of. But you know, you can't compare Unreal with Godot, for example. It's just they are 20 years apart in terms of development. So if Unity's not there, it's just your options are fewer, and that's not good for, I would say that's not good for you as a, yeah, as a developer or as a gamer, or yeah, it might backfire if everyone go over to Unreal, for example. Then they sit on all the users and they start scamming. So it's good to have Unity, and I hope they survive.
Absolutely. But I think it's going to be really, really unlikely that Unity is gonna be like go bankrupt. I mean, even if they haven't been profitable until now, even like the amount of like the value of the editor itself and all of the technologies that they have created is a lot. So I imagine like they will be able to find some way forward, and sure, like the trust is going to be broken for a lot of people, but they are going to like find a way to be profitable, I think, or at least to be like acquired by someone if like their stock really tanks or something like that. Yeah, I think that does it for this episode. It's been a fun one.
Yeah. Little updates on our games and Unity and yeah, some of the usual rabbit holes. Yes.
Yeah. wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Rune, for being my co-host as always.
Hi.
And thank you everyone for listening. And we'll see. When you hear this, probably there's some news about the Unity engine. So we'll see what happens. And my bet is on like the 4% thing, like doing the Unreal business model. So we'll see.
No one complains about that, so I think that's a good, that would be a good
thing. Yeah, exactly. Cool. Well, see you next week.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye.